Well, the recording just started. Everybody, welcome so much to December 2019 LHON Live with your host, Andy Marks and
Jessica Loomer.
There you go. We have been doing these calls since August of 2014. So we're over 5 years in at this point. Had several different migrations of these calls. But first and foremost, I want to let you all know we're really, really excited to have you. We have a couple of new callers this month who we're really excited to hear from and share things with you. The most important things about these calls is that we want to share information with you. We want to hear from you and be able to connect everyone here together. Jessica and I actually had the pleasure of meeting our former co-host as well, Maria, back in June of 2014. Where we connected at the first LHON conference that all three of us were at. And while we were there, we were talking about how great it is to connect with people who have such a similar unique experience as you do. And we thought, you know what, how cool would it be if we were able to stretch this experience throughout the rest of the year? And I don't know about you, I can't fly across the country every month. So instead of doing that, we've decided to start these monthly conference calls, which we've done every month since then. Jessica, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. And so we've been doing these since then. Each month, Jessica and I get together and talk about a few of the hot topics from the LHON Facebook group that have been going on each month. This month, we have a few really cool topics, in my opinion. That we will kind of buzz through, and then we'll open up the call to everyone to ask questions or share their feedback on the topics that we talked about. We know we have a really involved Facebook group online that a lot of people benefit from, but if you're like me, you can't dedicate the entire month to keeping up with all those topics. So we try and bring some of the most exciting topics that got a lot of people talking about them recently to this call every month. So with that, I'll ask you, Jessica, do you have anything else to share?
No, since we have so many new callers, we want to kind of share a little bit about our format, so just so they have a heads up of what's coming for the next hour.
Go for it. Yeah, I was going to ask you how you're doing, but please get...
Oh, I'll do both. So a little bit of a new format that we're trying out, and we're pretty excited about it. Andy and I will kind of go back and forth and talk about hot topics of what we've obviously, what he's talked about on Facebook. And so we'll kind of go back and forth and share our thoughts. And then once we're going to go through a couple topics, like 3, 4, 5. And once we do go through those topics, we'll then open it up. And then all the callers that are on the line right now can jump in and kind of talk about any of the other topics that we have talked about and kind of give us your 5 cents, and we'd love to hear from you. After that, then we'll turn off the recording. And then if you want to hang around, if we have any first-time callers or anything that you didn't want maybe on the recording, feel free to stick around and just kind of hang out and chat with us. But just wanted to throw out the format a little bit since we have some new callers. But no, I'm doing fantastic. I'm gearing up for more snow, as always, now that I've got snow on the brain. And yeah, I'm just in recovery coasting mode right now. Andy, what about you?
I'm doing well. Are you missing Arizona yet? I remember my first winter in New York after moving from Florida.
Actually,
so
no.
I'm curious. No? You have no desire to be back in Phoenix?
The only thing I miss is that when I was at my parents' house and I was only a 2-hour drive away, I could take a bus back and forth. So that means I would grocery shop in my parents' pantry, which you're never too old for. And I would grocery shop in my parents' pantry and take all these delicious things back. And because I have this fantastic freezer bag, and now I have to buy my own groceries. So a little bit sad, but I actually, turns out I cook more than my parents do. So they're pretty excited for me to come home so I can cook a bunch for them. So I miss the grocery shopping, but other than that, yeah, I'm really happy with Denver. I'm loving my location and independence and flexibility and all that has to offer in my adventures. So yeah, it's pretty good.
That's awesome. You and I have some things very much in common in that the things we miss the most about a place are the food. But the things yes. that we're also very different because I rarely ever cook. I'm sitting here staring at a takeout box right now that I didn't get to finish before this call. But that's okay. I appreciate anyone who listened to me take a few bites as we were gearing up. So let's get things kicked off. Thank you all for being here. A few, I guess, housekeeping items or background on Jessica and I. We both, I didn't say this at the top, so I want to let you both know, or everyone know, we both have LHON, and we have for roughly, what are we at, 5 or 6 years, Jessica? We lost our vision around the same time.
Yeah, I feel like you know we were 2012, 2013, so I'm going to say 6.5.
Okay, so you're a little earlier than me, but we are right around that time. You're exactly right. I will talk about something that happened the year I lost my vision a little bit as well. So yeah, I lost my vision end of 13, Jessica about a year prior to that. And we met in mid 2014 when we were both pretty early on in this. But I live in the New York City area now and she's in Denver. Back when we met, I lived in Florida and she lived in Phoenix. So we both wanted to be somewhere colder apparently. Yes, but I can say
that
good things about New York.
That makes us sound a little crazy, right?
It does make us sound crazy, and I've already said bad things about New York on this call already, so I may say good things about it later on in the call. You'll just have to wait to find out. So let's get to some topics, if that's cool with you. First and foremost, where do we want to start? Let's start with, I saw a post, I guess, in the past week or two. I think actually Brody posted it. Brody, a former guest speaker on one of these calls back when we had monthly guests, posted a casting call for blind actors for something that's being done, which sent me down like a rabbit hole of lots of things. One, my old acting days. Two, representation on the screen, both from blind actors, but also from blind characters. And three, just performing in general, which has always had a piece of who I am. I used to love being on the stage. Now I still get on the stage, but it's usually by myself to do comedy. I hate saying that on these calls because then people expect me to be funny and I'm never funny. So all of those things got me thinking about tons of stuff. But I think the really cool thing about this is about representation. And this is what I was kind of alluding to earlier. The year that you and I lost our vision, or I guess the year I lost my vision, there was this show on TV, which was like very, I would have said coincidental at the time, called Growing Up Fisher, starring J.K. Simmons, who you may know from lots of TV shows, or as being the voice of the peanut M&M guy in the commercials. There was a show about from a little boy's point of view, but his dad was actually blind, completely blind. And so that was cool. But then the year after that, got lots of buzz for all the blind characters that were on TV, from the Daredevil show debuting and there being a blind character on Finding Dory and in Rogue One and all of these different things. They're usually blind characters and not blind actors, but it's still something that I think is really cool just to have visibility to those things. Maybe I have a point of view on how they could be done different at times, but I still feel that it's really cool that they're on the screen. What about you?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I love your perspective just because you are on stage and you have so much and you're in front of it so much. I actually had no idea about half the characters you just listed that were blind. I'm a horrible TV watcher, so I'm probably the worst person to comment because I feel like I can't sit still when I watch TV because if anyone's met me, I have like oodles of energy, so it really takes a long time for me to sit down and watch a movie. So I think it's just just me and my personality. But it's super cool. Like Finding Dory, I had no idea there was a blind character.
Yep. Well, there's a blind whale.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes.
But he uses echolocation, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, great job on that one. That is cool. Tell us about your like experience on stage being visually impaired. Like, what do you think about a little bit differently that you maybe would have not thought about being sighted? Is there a huge difference?
Yeah, there is. I'm listening. I'm laughing to myself as you talk about how you can't watch TV because you don't stand still. And as you said that, I think I paced back and forth the length of my 600 square foot apartment four times. So I don't stand still on stage by any means, but I do stand-up comedy here in New York City, and I do it very differently. First and foremost, I talk about being blind. I carry a cane on stage usually. I've done things without a cane, but I also, that's a part of who I am. That's a part of how I'm going to interact with the audience. I'm very upfront about who I am. I normally kick it off by asking if there are any other blind people in the audience, which is always no, other than one time when Zach Turner came to a show of mine and really threw me off.
But well, who is Zach Turner?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, it is really different for lots of reasons. One, stand-up comedy, especially live comedy in any way where there's interacting with the audience, I don't see faces ever. I mean, and from being on stage to not being on stage, it's not that I don't see faces. I don't see anything. I can tell where people are roughly by the noise they're making and those kinds of things, but I don't have the pleasure of interacting with the audience in the way others do. But I get to do different things with that. I get to make jokes about them or about myself as a result of me not seeing them. And I get to be myself on stage. I think, in the interest of transparency, I mean, in a world of entertainment where something, especially like comedy, where there may be 8 to 10 comedians on stage one night, you need to separate yourself in some way. This is something that makes me unique, and it's something totally that I lean into. It's not something I'm afraid about talking about. It's by no means all I talk about on stage. I have lots of jokes that have nothing to do with me being blind, but it is a part of who I am, and it's a part of my persona on stage. So there's that. And that said, I do a lot of things that maybe aren't comedy as well, whether it's hosting things at family reunions or game nights or those kinds of things where it's done similarly differently, but at the same time, everyone's having a good time and I just get by.
I was totally going to crack a blind joke and ask you if you couldn't see people's faces because your vision's not awesome, or were you like blinded by the stage lights? Like, and I was going to bust into a song like "Blinded by the Light." No.
I'm glad you did that. I'm sure everyone else is too. I'm hearing Lisa laughing now in my head, so that's fantastic.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Yes, of course. Let's move right along. I'm curious if other people out there are performers and those kinds of things later on, or if they are interested in seeing people on stage, or they think it's pandering or whatever it happens to be. But we're going to switch gears really hard right now. I'm pressing the clutch, and we're switching to 2 weekends ago for you, I think. Not the most recent, but 2 weekends before that. And your trip to California for, I believe it's called the California Invitational Marathon. Is that right?
It was last weekend, so like I got home on Sunday night, so recent, 3 days ago. California International Marathon.
International, so totally close. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Actually, I don't know if it was fantastic. So great organization. So it was a national championship for the United States Association of Blind Athletes. Now, this is a fantastic organization for anybody of any sport, so definitely jot that down, because they have sports, everything from marathons to sprints to downhill skiing, swimming, judo to you name it. There is a ton of sports, a ton of opportunity. And most importantly, and also really cool, the culture and community is incredible. You can get scholarships to help you fund what you love to do. So there's so many great things to kind of talk about there. So this was a national championship for the marathon, and there was actually a huge representation for LHON, which was awesome. So we had Paige. Paige actually lives in Sacramento. She was affected at 19. I actually won't even guess how old she is at this moment, but she has 2 little ones. They're 4 and 1. So that was really cool to get to meet her. Joe Burkett, he's out of Louisville, Kentucky, and this was his second marathon, and he killed it out there. Paige actually did part of the relay, and Joe ran the marathon, and he ran like a 3:14, which is impressive.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's such a cool guy, super down to earth, very easy to talk to. And it was hilarious because I knew his name, you know, like just because I was seeing who was going to get the marathon. And I get on the bus and I sit down, and he kind of just sounded like he was from the South, like no judgment. I was like, "Are you Joe?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, hey, I'm Jessica." And I didn't say like, "Hey, I'm Jessica Loomer." And what do you say? Like, "Hey, I'm Jessica Loomer and I'm LH1. Like, I guess I should have said something along those lines. And he goes, "Wait, Jessica, am I supposed to know you?" And I was like, I don't know. I'm Jessica." And he's like, "Wait, you're Jessica Loomer with LH1. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I should have said that." It was hilarious. Super cool. He was actually there with his wife and 21-month-old. So really cool that they were able to come out as a family and, you know, run around the marathon and have a blast. Another new person to actually our LH1 community, been affected for a while, but just joined the Facebook group and is jumping in. His name is Honda. It was his first marathon and he killed it. He did such a great job. He was hilarious. He actually, on our award ceremony, said that he had two guys and had an absolute blast. So it was really cool to be able to meet him, but also to be part of his first marathon experience. Last but not least was Chaz Davis. Chaz is our Paralympian marathon gold medal winner. So he actually, he got out there, had a little bit of a rough day for a marathon. He's been sick the week before, but it was awesome. It was great to catch up with Chaz. He actually works for the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired right now. And he is one of the key players for the Boston Marathon. So if you have any questions on Boston Marathon or Boston Athletics, he works super close with them. So it was really cool to be able to see him. And he has a guide dog, Trisha. She's a beautiful black little lab. So really cool for that. And then it was me. It was great to have LH1 representing. There were 50 runners. I mean, out of 50, there were 5 LH1. So kind of a rare number for us, but so I had a great race. I beat my personal best by 7 minutes, qualified for Boston, and I was second overall female. So it was
wow,
really, it was a
that's
good weekend.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. It was good. So great weekend. Thank you for asking. But check out USABA and see if you find a sport that you might love, because there is a ton of opportunity to jump into something.
That's super, super cool. I can do some athletic things, but nothing like running a marathon. My mind plays too many tricks on me if I run for that long. Let's
but
switch gears.
Here?
Just, I've skied before, yes, but my okay. sport of choice in my prior life was tennis, which is a sport that is, well, blind tennis is a sport that is growing here in the New York City area, but unlike some of the other sports, like whether it be bowling or golf or running, it's very different rules. It's more like the difference in goalball and soccer. I guess there is blind soccer, which is done differently as well, but where there is, it's truly a different sport. So I'm excited to get into that one day, but these days I've been doing more rock climbing and going to a boxing gym. I'm not sparring with anything Ooh. Other than a bag these days, but I've been having a good
nice.
Time.
That's all about.
Let's stay on the sports topic here a little bit. I saw a post last week, question that came in, actually someone celebrating the fact that there was a country, I forget which it was, I want to say either France or Canada, that has integrated competitions in golf to include both sighted and unsighted or blind competitors in a way that there is inclusion and all competitors are competing. There may be different rules for different groups, but I kind of wanted to, as someone who's in the sports world in a way, I mean, do you think it's better for everyone to be competing side by side? In some ways, when you're doing your races, you are competing side by side with sighted competitors. It's not as if they put you on a different course or close it off for you when you're doing that. Do you wish you were compared against others when it came to times and those kinds of things? Or do you wish you were on a different course? Do you wish it went differently in any way?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I want to say yes and no to both questions. So going back to the marathon and kind of being on the same playing field, I totally agree that as a blind athlete, I'd want to be on the same course and I want to be against the same people and things like that. But to that point, so awards are given for your like vision class, there's probably a better word to phrase it, but like based on like, so you're kind of compared against people that are amongst the same vision as you. So yeah, I'm on the same course with everybody on the marathon, but I actually, you have an option as somebody with a disability, I can start 5 minutes before everybody else. What that's cool and what, why I do that. So I always take advantage of that because I hate weaving. Nothing's worse. And I think that's, you get like 18,000 people and everybody's starting. And then there's so many people and you're just, there's a stampede without vision. It's hard to kind of navigate. So it kind of alleviates that. The 5 minute extra minute start with nobody on the course doesn't mean I get 5 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes is still part of my chip time. So no matter what, when I cross that finish line, whatever that time says on the clock, I have to add 5 minutes because I started ahead. So it's not like I'm like losing 5 minutes or anything, but yeah, I mean, the advantage that I get to start without like the masses is definitely a huge bonus.
Yeah.
But and I think yeah, I'm on the course. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But it is, I think it's valuable to be on the course with everybody, and be able to compete, you know, just, it's the camaraderie, it's the community. And I really appreciate that. Like all the pace groups would pass us and people would recognize, I use a tether. So people recognize that, there's some sort of visual impairment between us. So they kindly go around. I actually had a person come up to me and it was, some pace group. And what that means is, if you want to run a 4 hour marathon, you can follow this person that helps pace you at the correct time in order to achieve your goal. So these kind of, there's pace groups and that's very common in the marathon world. So as these pace groups pass me, it's literally like you're getting swarmed by people, which is pretty overwhelming when you're trying to like maintain pace and all of a sudden you get swarmed and engulfed by people. And I actually had a guy come up to me. He's like, hey, a pace group's coming up. You're good. Stay straight. We'll move around you. And I was like, that culture and that consideration is just awesome. Like at the end of the day, we're all people and we're all trying to look out for each other. And even though it's a race, obviously to like either against other people or against yourself, depending on what you're going for. It's cool to still see that camaraderie out there. And I think that's what's cool about it. If all golfers were on the same course and things like that, I think it's cool to still have that community and connection.
Everything you said, I think, is spot on. And I'd certainly encourage anyone who is a runner. While I'm not a runner, I've been very close to the running world for lots of different reasons in my life. I encourage anyone to take those different things they give you. I mean, there's a reason why the wheelchair competitors start earlier even than you. I used to, when I worked at Disney, support a lot of the marathons and half marathons that happened there. And if you go to some of these different places, some of them have very narrow parts of the course for route running, and you don't want to be going through those areas with 50,000 other people like the New York City Marathon here. So anything you can do to kind of alleviate some of that, at the end of the day, there's not a single gun start for the rest of the thousands of competitors anyway at most of these races. They are let off in corrals. What you are doing is just going off in a very different, unique corral, and that's okay. That's a very different way that I live my life than some others, though, when it comes to my disability. So that's really cool, though. Happy to get your opinion on that one. Let's move to what was probably going to be our last topic tonight. And I think it's very appropriate here. I'm checking the time for us before I move on to it. Yep, let's make this one our last topic. So it's December. A lot of people already got on the front of the call and wished us happy holidays, Merry Christmas to all. And so I wanted to get your take, and I'm going to share my opinion as well. But with a lot of people out there doing Christmas shopping, whether it be for themselves or for another blind person in their life, hey, you got to buy something for yourself if no one else does it. I'm curious what gifts you've ever been given as a blind person that you found especially unique, something you enjoyed having, something that ended up being useful for you, that you liked in any way. So I'll pass it over to you.
That's such a tough question. And such a great question. I feel kind of stumped on this. I might have to throw it back at you because I think the coolest thing that has happened for me when people are giving me gifts, I still think it's, not even blend related, but just back to being thoughtful and things like that. But what I love, especially if people send me a gift, is they either will, I tell them like, oh, I got your gift, and they'll either will FaceTime and they'll kind of walk me through what they got me, or they'll send me a video message and be like, hey, when you play this video when you open the gift, and then they'll kind of fully describe to me what they've got me, which so it, I think anything I get is fantastic, but I think it comes down to the thoughtfulness of then when I open the gift, you don't go like, so what is it? It's them in full description. And I don't know how I got super lucky that literally all my friends and family do this. I don't know if I said it like way in the beginning, but yeah, they all either do like videos or we FaceTime, and they kind of tell me everything that's, and they fully describe what they've got me, which of course is super cool because they're just as excited to share a gift as I am. So they're like, oh my gosh, and they got this. And like, you know, if someone's super excited to share something, they're in like full excited description mode. So I'm lucky to get that. What about you and Andy?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think you have some silly elf on the shelf or something telling all your friends to do that, because I've never had a friend or family member or anything do that. But I think that is really cool. And not only just cool for you, I think everyone kind of wants to, I mean, I've been done this myself. Whenever like someone you're really close to opens a present you gave them, you kind of want to run over and tell them about it anyway and why you gave it to them and yeah, all these kinds of things. And usually everyone's like holding that bag because they don't want to like, I don't know, be crazy and be like, oh my God, I got you this because of this and blah, blah, blah. And it's threaded with that. And I thought you'd love it because it's from this country. And like, but the fact that people are able to do that, feel good about doing it, I think is awesome.
Yeah, lots of presents, no, I totally agree.
Lots of presents that I get that end up meaning a lot to me because of who I am and my vision and those kinds of things are things that are normal presents. They aren't things that you're going to find at like lowvision.com or whatever it happens to be. They're normal presents that normal people would have that someone thought, hey, because of my vision might be especially unique for me. I have a friend who loves to give like weird socks, and it's become something I wear very fun, strange socks every day now, because who needs normal socks? They're a lot harder to match. They're a lot harder to do everything with. So, and it's also more fun. So I've gotten to the point where like, yeah, I'll get these gifts from different people, and it's something that I will even ask for from people. Just give me a pair of like interesting, fun socks that I can wear to work or at home or wherever. And it's a present that anyone could get. But at the same time, I like it especially because now I don't have to worry about things being harder to match when they're especially odd socks and I can distinguish them from others that much more easily.
They're like super weird. You notice, you can tell them as matchy. They're not like mismatched random socks that you just put on any two. They're like very
noticeable. No. The socks I have on right now are like red and blue and have popsicles on them, and I can distinguish the two of them very easily. Now they're matching, don't get me wrong. They look identical. But I just would never get them confused with any other pair of socks I have.
That's awesome. That's cool.
But I also have a handful of presents that I've gotten from people that I do think are cool, whether it's that are blind related. I have a couple of decks of cards that are very, I mean, I'm a big game player. So I have decks of cards that have especially big, suits on them and numbers and whatever it happens to be, so I can read them easily. I have my brother actually, I'm going to play backgammon a whole bunch. So I normally play backgammon by putting my face down in the board and actually having my trusty friend tell me what I roll every time. But my brother gave me a blind backgammon board last year, which is really cool. It's not the one I use all the time because I'm often meeting in some New York City park or something with a travel board. But it is something that's really cool that I got last year. I know there are food things that people appreciated getting, whether it's an Instant Pot. Instant Pots were actually super popular outside of the blind community last Christmas and the one before that. So that's something that I know especially people in the blind community like to get because you can program a lot of it from your phone. There are lots of tech things just in our lives that we like to have. It may be a subscription to a certain service or something like that, or a food something, or like you said, I mean, it may be, who knows, entrance into the Boston Marathon for you, something like that. I think is especially cool. I just think all of that is neat. I think people should think about presents the way they normally would. It doesn't always have to be through a blind lens, but at the end of the day, before you make a purchase, think, is this right for that person? if you're going and you bought a book in the bookstore, that's fine that you thought about getting that, but then think, hey, is this right for that person? And say, no, it's not. And then go to audible.com/AndyMurray. No, I'm just kidding. And give them a free subscription for 1 month. And so, I mean, those are the kinds of things that are really exciting. When I first lost my vision, my dad bought me a canoe and a tandem bike. And we had all these things that we were like trying to explore to see if they were things I'd fall in love with. And so I think all of that's really cool and exciting to be doing with people or for people. But those are just a handful of presents that I think are especially neat for people. The last thing I'll say, and it sounds like I'm just plugging my company like crazy, but I know this is something that you like and something that I'm staring at in my house right now, but any kind of smart speaker for anyone of any age, I think it's a really cool and frankly very cheap present to give people these days, that it can make lives easier for people in a situation like yours or mine.
You know what's really cool that I discovered about that smart speaker?
Yep, go ahead.
No, my new feature that I just discovered about that smart speaker that has the name, I actually grouped all of mine together so I can say, like, play Christmas music everywhere. So if you're, you know, having a holiday party or dinner party at your house and you want to look awesome and have this, like, cheery music everywhere you go, which I often play for myself, I grouped them all together. So that's cool. I love that little feature.
Yep, I did the same thing. I have 3 in my very small apartment, and they're all grouped as well. Though some of them like to be difficult at times. But just to let everyone know, Google Homes are a fantastic alternative as well. Similarly cheap Google Home Minis, but you can also get an Echo, Echo Dot, Echo Tower, whatever you are interested in. So that's just a handful of things. With that, anything else from you, Jessica, before we open it up to everyone here on the call?
Another fun thing that I would often get, and I think we all can like relate, that we often see the color blue, and I say we often, a very broad topic, I can hear Howard, that we see that bright blue color pretty well. And so I would actually get, I call it LH01 blue, or Jessica blue. Bless you. Are you sneezing? Bless you.
I did. Thank you.
But I would often get a lot of blue things. So I have everything from like blue shoes to blue handbags to blue. I'm wearing a blue blazer at this moment. So all like blue things. And although it's fantastic, but like at one point my entire apartment I think was blue. But I've moved away from that, and I've moved on from the blue phase, but it's still really cool because then you can find things super easy. So it's kind of fun.
All right. Well, if you're looking for a TV show, since you need a special TV show to catch your attention, I recommend the Smurfs. I think love it.
Perfect. I'll check it out. I hope it's on Amazon Prime.
I'm sure it's somewhere. With that, we're probably going to unmute it for everyone. Just to remind everyone, I know people like to be reminded of the things we talked about. We talked about representation of blind people in movies and TV and blind actors and TV shows. Then we talked about the California International Marathon, which Jessica competed alongside 5 other LHON competitors in. Then we talked about sports with blind and sighted individuals competed side by side or against each other even. And then we talked about presence for blind people. So those are the 4 topics we talked about. If you remember those, while I open the call up to everyone. Now, when I open it up, we're going to ask that if you know you're in a very noisy place, maybe you're watching TV because you wanted to watch the Smurfs and couldn't wait, then I ask that you mute yourselves back. And in order to do that, Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong, it's *7 or *6. Which is it?
I muted myself so quickly. It's *7 to mute, *6 to unmute.
Okay, I thought it was the same for both. So if you try one and it doesn't work, try the other. But *6 to mute, *7 to unmute.
And it will tell you when you actually unmute us, they'll say you are now unmuted. And so you can always, so it'll tell you too.
Yep. So that's if you're in a very busy or loud area, feel free to mute yourself. But welcome everyone right And just to remind everyone, I'm going to mute everyone, leave the recording on for a period of time so all of this is recorded for people who listen later. But then there will be a period after this where we'll turn the recording off and you can say hello then if you'd like as well. Unmuting now. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
We can hear you. Anyone who has any thoughts or questions on anything we discussed, now is your time.
Hey, it's Cindy, and I was going to chime in about the TV show that has a blind character on it this season of This Is Us. And I don't know if anyone else watches that show, but
you're exactly
I love
right.
it.
Yep.
And they've added audio description to it this season, and the character has not had a lot of airtime just yet, but it's really exciting because they did use a blind actor.
Mm-hmm. It's super cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Thanks, Cindy.
mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts or questions
and is this
from others out there?
To being on the same topic of when you do your stand-up comedy, how do people find out when you're doing that?
if you ever know you're going to be in the New York City area, let me know. I can plan trips around or shows around people being here. But outside of that, I try and perform a few times a month. I post it on Instagram and things like that, typically in my Instagram story or something like that, if you're interested. But I do not have a mailing list right now, but that's something I'm trying to get off the ground. And if I do that, I will certainly let some of you know who are most interested. But I will not annoy people, so don't be worried about that.
We're coming.
Do you have anything
Valentine's
this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have anything this weekend? I do not have a show planned for this weekend. Who asked that, by the way?
Oh, that's Nicole. Sorry.
Hey, Nicole.
No shows this weekend?
Not at the moment. If I have somebody this weekend, it'll be Saturday night. So we'll certainly be in touch. And let me know. If you're definitely here, I'll let you know. And it would be a late show Saturday night. So
okay, cool.
I'll let you know if that ends up happening.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions from anyone for Jessica, myself, or thoughts on any of the topics we talked about? Anyone have a present they've been given that whether you thought you would enjoy it or you didn't think you'd enjoy it that ended up being useful and you'd like to maybe tell some listeners here? We always have lots of people calling in or listening after the fact who may not be blind themselves, but have someone in their life who's blind. And I know they have a lot of trouble thinking about what to buy people because everyone does.
It's Lisa from Canada here. I, first of all, want to say great call, guys. And also, Jessica, I think it's really cool that your friends and family send you, you know, FaceTime or audio descriptions of what your gift is. That's a really thoughtful and kind and caring gesture to do. I think that's really cool.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll pass it on to them.
Yeah, I think that's very neat. Because I know how many times I sit there and go, okay, open it. What is it? You know, you feel kind of like, oh, I'm smiling, I'm laughing, and everybody's like, do you like it? What is it?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's a little awkward at times, but
I think I've always had this look on my face like, thanks. And so I think I also have no filter. So I think they're like, oh, she doesn't have a filter. We should tell her what it is. Because I'm like, ooh, you know. And Lisa, you were laughing when I was making my song, when I was singing my song, right? My joke?
Maybe.
I was like, oh, when in doubt, I'm like, where's Lisa?
Yeah, well, I'm muted, so you couldn't hear me. But no, great call, as always, you guys. You're doing a wonderful job.
Now, Lisa, you've been affected for a little bit. What, have you gotten a cool gift that you'd be able to share?
Oh, God. You know,
tickets to see your boyfriend, Adam?
Yeah. My boyfriend, Adam, yeah. I don't know. Actually, over the years, everything's always been very thoughtful and kind and caring, and I guess probably the one of the gifts that I remember most is, and I mean it was XO, you know the game XOX? Like X is a nose? It was a wooden
like
board.
Like tic-tac-toe?
Sorry?
Like tic-tac-toe?
Yeah, tic-tac-toe, there we go. Tic-tac-toe.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So when I became affected, my youngest son, Cole, was 2.5 at the time. So somebody had given, I think it was my mom probably, found a wooden board that was big enough that we could do tic-tac-toe together. So, you know, like, I know it's tic-tac-toe and times have changed and technology's there now, but it was something that I was able to do with him when he was little, when the technology wasn't there, and it's something I still have to this day. So that's something that's special.
That's super, super cool.
That's
Shout
really
out
cool.
to your mom who's here on the call. So very cool.
Can I ask you guys all a question? Does everybody have that blue thing that Jessica was talking about, that where you can see blue more than a different color?
I
no.
claim
We've
that.
Heard
that's no official. No.
No.
Okay.
I was
going to
say, I don't
like,
see it, so I was wondering.
Don't listen to me. That's definitely not an official claim. I can see the blue the best. I know a lot of people can, but there's also a lot of people that can, so don't listen to me.
Who asked the question?
I see red. Yeah. I can see
that's
the different colors, but that's what I...
That was Nicole.
Yeah. I forgot to give you all the subtitle of our little call here. It's LHO and Live. Don't listen to me.
Who asked the question?
No, I was like, oh my
color.
Gosh, am I doing something wrong? Why can't I see both?
No.
Wayne, it was Nicole.
Okay. Thank you. My best. I think it's between a bright yellow and blue.
Oh, okay.
I sort of like yellow, but blue's up there too. That would be the top two.
Okay.
See now.
I would like throw in my disclaimer that everyone sees totally different. So you know, it's crazy how there's so much variation, you know, but
My best color is blue also. This is Madeline. Okay. My best color is blue also, and yellow.
Oh,
and
yellow,
yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. And can
I hear you guys?
I wanted to
say something to the gift topic. This is Megan. Hi.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Megan. So I'm recently affected, lost my vision within the last year, and my mother-in-law recently gave me a huge set of bump pads, and I think I literally broke down and started crying in front of her and said, this is like the best gift you could have given me.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like the little things like that. And, Jessica, when we spoke, like we talked about matching socks. So like, and using, safety pins. So like even a set of safety pins to like keep your set of clothing combined.
Totally.
I think is huge. And what was the other one that I just thought of? Oh, it's going to lose me. But it's little things like that I think are just like so big. And like, it's not the big gifts really anymore. It's like, you know, the little things that like keep you guys going. So that's really great.
All of those... For all those little things, I would say to anyone who's listening to this call, who is dealing with anyone who's recently affected, don't wait to give someone that. Like, send them that now. Send them a card that you're going to read to them that tells you how much you care about them, with a little something like bump dots or safety pins or whatever it happens to be, just to tell them you're thinking about them. Those are the nicest things you can do for people.
Yep. For sure. Oh, and my some of my family members also send me messages in audio now instead of text, which is a huge help.
So cool.
That's my little thoughts, but yeah.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Megan, I have to share that one of the coolest ideas you gave me, and also back to simple little things that like mean a ton, is Megan has this, sorry, I'm totally going to call you out, has this dry erase board that I'm like, is genius. Like, I mean, think about it, like dry erase board, you can like write notes as big as you need, and then you can erase it when you're done with it, and you can write a grocery list or a to-do or whatever, but like knowing you can get like as big of a dry erase board as you need, and then you can kind of just keep notes and keep going, then like 6,000 pieces of paper with Sharpie all over it or whatever, since Post-its don't really work for us anymore. I think that whole dry erase board is super cool. So that's kind of a fun gift too.
That was, yeah. Thanks, Jessica. That was a big one.
That's definitely something I use. That's how I plan my month. I do my entire calendar on the dry erase board. So I would be lost without it.
And how do you see what you wrote? That's my fault, sorry.
How do I see? I write as big as I can need to.
Okay.
With a black erasable marker.
Okay. And then you're able to see what you wrote, though?
Yeah. And then hope nobody erases it because it's not written down somewhere else.
My dry erase board is actually black, and then I use different colors on top of it. So that's a big help.
Oh. Yes, mine is white, and I use black pen because it's just easier for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it all about works for you, right?
Yep.
Wow. Very cool. So if you wrote in blue, is it like a lot easier to read rather than, say, black?
Unfortunately, I'm a rarer case, and... Mm-hmm. And the blue does not work for me. Blue,
okay.
The blue becomes like a fluorescent color to me. And actually, when I look at that color blue, it sends sparks off in my eyes.
Oh, okay.
And that's only since I lost my vision. This is Lisa from Canada, by the way. And that actually was the color my wedding party wore, was that royal blue. So to go back and look at wedding pictures now, I can't because it just hurts my eyes too much.
Oh, one thing I would add to the color thing is just that, like, as much as the color is important, contrast is equally important for people, or the situation affects all of those things. So if you're writing on white, maybe a black is going to be good anyway. I certainly wouldn't write on it with a yellow. And the same thing is true of the black. I mean, you're going to want to write with something that's the opposite.
No, you're right. It depends on the situation, like you're saying, because it would be better for me, I think, you know, writing on the board with contrast black and white. But like, you know, like I said, when I ride a bicycle with people, if they're wearing blue, yellow shirts, I can see them much better at a further distance, which isn't that far. But then if they're wearing, you know, brown or green or black, they just blend in.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you write a regular.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah. But you ride a regular bicycle?
Yep.
Not a tandem? Oh, that's awesome. Good
for
you.
No.
I would say when it comes to things like you said, Wayne, out in the real world, if you will, one reason people like this brightish blue color is because it just doesn't occur naturally very much. So anything that's going to be a natural color, whether it's brown, black, white, beige, tan, gray, green, these are all colors that are going to be worse for us, not because we can't see them, but because they're going to be up against something very similar.
Lisa, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Can I mention why I was in Philadelphia yesterday?
Sure, but before you do, I was going to ask Lisa if the glasses that you were wearing might help her when she talks about the blue being bothersome. Lisa, have you heard of FL41 glasses?
Well, I spoke about that at the conference. The glasses I was wearing.
But you know what I'm talking about? It's not like sunglasses. but they help with certain wavelengths of light that are, they're really good with light sensitivity. They're good with migraines, photophobia. And Chris was wearing them yesterday. And like she said, she mentioned them at the conference. I just wondered if that might help if you're in a situation with that blue. It's not going all the way to wearing sunglasses, but it's a softer
I've actually never tried thing. That. I've never tried mm-hmm. that, to be honest.
I'll put the link up in the group and you can look it up and see what you think. You know, I'm doing my usual, yeah. you know, putting links up from what people said so you can follow the link and see if it makes sense for you.
Thank you.
They're so good for glare. I know so many of us suffer from glare and mm-hmm. I wear them so often now because of glare and snow and the bright lights. They just really... And I mean, the photophobia is such a complaint of mine as well as migraines. And I found them to be extremely helpful. I got them from this lab in Utah. Lisa will provide the link. As far as I'm concerned, I recommend them.
Very cool.
But can I mention why I was in Philadelphia? Because this color thing has triggered everything. Can I mention it, Lisa? Lisa?
Yeah, don't tell me. Sure, go ahead.
She said that's fine.
Well, I was chosen to by a how do I begin this? A drug company contacted a research market firm. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yeah.
To
mm-hmm. yep.
to gather some Libras affected within the Philadelphia, New Jersey / Delaware area to have a one-on-one interview with us for about. Let's see, it was 75 minutes individually with people listening in on this interview behind a window. And I do believe these are the drug reps to hear what we had to say, our thoughts. To my selection, I did not know specifically what I was going to be asked about. So I went in there kind of blind. I kind of went in there not knowing a heck of a lot. So I went in there and not knowing exactly what they were going to be asked. What one person is going to be asking me. I was told it was going to be someone with a good interviewer with a medical background who is very good at interviewing someone. So, went into the interview. When I got there, first of all, there's Lisa from San Diego. I knew she was going to be there. Thrilled to death. So happy to see her. And we got to chat just briefly, and next thing I knew, I was called into the room. And they invited Bob to come in with me. He sat there very quietly. They did ask him a couple of questions. So they wanted to know how I became affected. I explained it. And then after hearing that, she, and this was being recorded. So after hearing that, she then said the purpose of my of this interview. This drug company is taking the next step further to launching a drug that I have determined they have found to be, I'm just guessing all this stuff. They must be going another step further in a clinical trial, and they want to advance this to find a way to now administer the drug to LH1 affected. And they're trying to, they determined two ways to administer this drug to the affected person. And they want to see how I feel about the two ways to administer this drug. So the first way, there are two ways to administer this drug, I've been told. An injection. Both are two injections into your stomach once every day.
Yeah.
The first.
Go ahead, Chris, if you don't mind quickly going through these two ways. I do want to hurry us up to getting to more conversation
okay,
topics.
I'll make it really fast. The first one is an EpiPen, and the second one is like, you know, I compared it to getting an injection in the doctor's office. Just, you know, take the injection and stick it in a vial and stick it in your stomach and away we go. So my first thing was the EpiPen involves colors because it looked like a magic marker, and I had it. They gave me all the components and it was explained from step one to the end and how you put the thing in and prime it, and step all these different steps. Well, guess what? I could hardly see the thing because it was white, and it was like a very dark, I guess, maybe blue. I couldn't see this thing. So we talked about, how would you rate this? Well, I rate from 1 to 7. I gave it a rate of 6. And I said, this is great, but you have to make this colorful for us. I said, it's white. I can't see this thing. I can't see where the needles are. I can't blah, 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 blah. I said, I think a lot of us can see blue. So I said, but you can't make it navy blue. You have to make it like bright blue. Or maybe, yeah. I said, all our vision is different, blah, 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 blah. I explained to them how you have to make it different colors. And then the other apparatus, I gave it a 1. I said, oh, I can't see that there's bubbles in this thing. I have to tap it and get bubbles out and blah, 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 blah. It was very interesting. I think it's very exciting that something is coming down. I just feel something is coming down the pike here. And it's very exciting. I wanted to share with you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah, I appreciate that. And just in the interest of, I mean, I work in a similar field of research. Assuming there may have been some kind of NDA involved at some point in time, I'm going to ask everyone to kind of hold their questions on that one, potentially. But thank you so much for sharing, Chris. That's really, really exciting stuff.
I was not told I could not share this information.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. And as everyone knows here, there's lots of research always going on, and we always try and share some of that with everyone here as well.
Have you had the injections, like a trial injection prior to having this?
I did a similar thing when I, treatment for osteoporosis with an EpiPen thing.
How about for the eyes though? Like I'm in a trial at Vanderbilt. And I just was curious if they allow. Okay.
No, this is a random choice on their part of choosing me, and I think there were 9 or 10 participants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this research that Chris is talking about is unrelated to any of the gene therapy trials that many people have been a part of at the different places.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. Actually, I met the person before me and afterward. And I've never met these people before in the LHON community. Totally random.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's okay.
That's good for you. I hope something works out.
Thanks, Chris. Any other questions or comments or feedback from others? I do want to, we are past the top of the hour, and I want to at least open it up for those who have things to say outside of the call. But if anyone has any last questions or comments while it's being recorded, we'll take those now.
I did have two other Christmas gifts or gifts ideas. I've had family members fighting for IRA subscriptions for me, So if you guys haven't heard of Ira, look into it. This is Megan from San Francisco, and yeah, totally look into it. It has been a lifesaver, and I've only used it for a week. It is amazing. And the extent that it can do for you is just amazing. That's the only word I'm going to use. I think that's the big one that I'm going to add to that for Christmas gifts or that point.
Just to let everyone know, Ira is A-I-R-A, and that's a service where you can actually use hardware that they provide for you, but you can also do it without the hardware, where there is a camera that you have and you speak to what they call an agent on their end who can help you with any number of tasks. It's actually a service that's recently been made free for calls up to 5 minutes. And there's also lots of access points where it's free, including I think Wegmans and CVS and Target now recently was added as an access point.
And airport. So
lots of airports, exactly. So these are places that you can use it without even having a membership subscription, where you would pay for a certain number of minutes per month. So feel free to check that out or add it to your Christmas list and tell Santa you would like that. Any other thoughts from others? Go ahead.
Has anybody Be My Eyes?
I think there are lots of people who have used Be My Eyes. If Cindy's still on the call, I know she's chatted about that recently. But Be My Eyes is a similar app where you're different from Ira in that you're not speaking to a trained professional, and they don't have things like GPS access to where you are, and they're not using special hardware and those kinds of things. But Be My Eyes is a similar app where you can log into Be My Eyes, and volunteers are able to help you with tasks through your camera on your phone as well.
Right. Okay. We'll try it.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
This is Dennis. Dennis and Madeline from Florida.
Fantastic.
This is Nicole. One more question. I'm so sorry. Has anybody had any issue? Tomorrow I'm having an MRI because last time I was at Vanderbilt, my pupils don't move anymore. And they said it's not necessarily related to LHON, but has anybody had anything similar? Like if this is a completely different thing?
I've heard of people having whether their pupils dilate slowly or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. Those things happen with greater frequency than I think most people realize with most mm-hmm. people as you just get older. And it, like you said, is likely not associated with LHON, but
right.
I know I've heard doctors say that about me at different periods as well. So.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel better.
That's what we're here
for.
You
guys have been wonderful tonight. This is really nice.
Thanks so much. So with that, I know we're having a few folks already drop off, and I want to get us back to other things as well. But before we get off, I want to remind everyone that the most pivotal thing that we do every year is our conference that will come up at the end of June. So we have several months away. We don't have to talk about dates or anything at this point, but next year we have our conference in Arizona. And the other thing I'd like to tell everyone is that this call is typically the first Wednesday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Jessica and I are still deciding whether we're going to push next month's out a week as well, because if we don't, it's actually going to be on New Year's Day. So we may talk to some people to see if that's better for people, but I think we'll end up doing it on the 8th again, pushing it 1 week. But that will be January 8th at 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So it's always the same number. For any new callers tonight, thank you so much for being here. With that, I'm going to turn the recording off because I want people to have a chance to ask those questions or introduce themselves if they don't want to be on the recording. Lisa, Jessica, is there anything else you wanted to say before I turn the recording off?
No, I think you covered all of it. Thank you all for joining in. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and looking forward to seeing you guys next month or talking to you.
All right, stopping the.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay. In that case,